Hello and welcome back to Easy Being Green. Now, first, a confession. I recorded most of the interviews for this season a little ways in advance of their release. I work full time and this podcast is a passion project, so that's just one way of fitting it in around everything else that I do. But often it means that when I come back to edit and publish the episode, it's almost like hearing the conversation fresh for the first time. Listening back to my chat with award-winning NCTJ qualified journalist and brand strategist Sophie Turton was incredibly invigorating and empowering. Sophie was so easy to talk to and so incredibly eloquent and strong in her words. Not to sound too in awe, but I kind of am. Another strange, universal, spooky thing about this conversation was the timing of editing this episode. So one topic we cover in this chat, amongst many, many others, is the fear that some have, and a fear that I certainly battle with, about talking about your purpose or communicating your impact publicly for fear of backlash or trolling or quote unquote getting it wrong. Sophie mentions the abuse that people receive on channels like TikTok, particularly when talking about environmental impact. And this podcast experienced that exact type of low level, I'd say trolling more than abuse, last week with a post about the climate crisis. And we have a really tiny following on TikTok. So let's leave that conversation about whether or not we should actually even be on TikTok and if that's actually where our audience is for another time. We're still learning. The one video that we shared on TikTok, out of all of the rest that has the most engagement, is one where we are talking about taking responsibility for climate change. And oh boy, did the climate deniers bite on that video. And that was really confronting to see the only comments on a piece of work that you put out there being challenging and negative and accusing you of things that you never thought you would ever be accused of. So re-listening to this conversation now, with that fresh in my mind, with Sophie, certainly came at the right time and has inspired me to keep finding the courage to challenge the status quo, even when it's really scary. So without further ado, I really hope you enjoy episode 4 of season 2 of Easy Being Green, Lessons in Sustainable Business. And this conversation is with Sophie Turton of Electric Peach. Sophie, welcome to the Easy Being Green podcast. I'm so happy to have you on here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Fantastic. So you're the founder of brand storytelling and impact agency Electric Peach. Really love that name, by the way. It's very cool. Can you start by telling us your story? How did Electric Peach come about and what challenges are you addressing with your business?
So we started nearly 6 years ago as The Joyful. We started as The Joyful Web. So the business has gone through quite a few different iterations over the last 6 years. But we were always focusing on marketing for impact and working with businesses who were prioritizing people and planet alongside profit. And the reason for that is because I've been working, first of all, in journalism and then in brand communications my whole career, and was getting so disenfranchised by how marketing and advertising use manipulation tactics to make people feel like there's something wrong with them so that they can then sell them something that ultimately makes the world a much worse place. If you trace back pretty much every toxic belief system we have as a society, you will come to a boardroom full of people who are trying to make us feel bad about ourselves, and behind that will be a product that or a service that they're trying to sell. So I'm really passionate about businesses using brand storytelling and marketing to turn it on its head and instead take really important messages out to people, enroll them in those messages and those visions, and then galvanize them to action. And then the lovely byproduct of that is growth of the business as well. So that's how we started as The Joyful. And then we've recently gone through a rebrand to Electric Peach to specifically be focusing on working with more rebellious businesses who don't want to play it safe and aren't just saying that they've got a purpose, but who are really living that and really walking their talk, which I know that we'll speak about later, and who want to put their money where their mouth is and create really impactful campaigns that get people really excited, or at least get people talking, because sometimes it's also going to get people angry. That's just the way that, these things go. And I'm really excited about the potential to be working with businesses who really are challenging the status quo to help them change something about their industry or disrupt their industry and create actual impact rather than just talking about it, which I'm seeing more and more and more happening literally in every single business, regardless of what they're doing.
Wow, that's so exciting. And that's a really good segue into talking about walking your talk. So talk to me about that. Like, how we've had a lot of businesses on this podcast and guests who have been talking about finding purpose and actioning purpose in their business. But one thing we haven't really talked about is how they communicate that externally. So I think a lot of business owners, leaders, and employees struggle with that. And you mentioned there, you know, the anger that it sometimes elicits. Some people find this topic really triggering. And when you put yourself out there, there's a fear of trolling or saying the wrong thing. And that results in what is known as purpose hushing. People just don't talk about what they're doing that is good because they're scared they're going to say the wrong thing. But it is divisive in some ways, and people have very different opinions on purpose and impact and sustainability. So to somebody who's suffering from purpose hushing or afraid to put their messages out there, what would you say to them? What advice would you give?
First of all, I totally get it. Like, I'm a communication specialist, and my whole career has felt like this kind of budding out, like a sort of almost a turtling. Like, 1 minute I'm like, I'm here, world, I'm here. And then I'm like, oh God, it's not safe. And then I go back inside again. So I totally get it. And these are the kind of businesses that I really want to be supporting, because it's that really odd paradox between I'm seeing so many businesses, whether they're social enterprises, NGOs, or for-profit businesses that are just driven by a real strong desire to be the change, that are not talking about their impact and not telling their stories in ways that are engaging or even clear to people what it is that they're doing. And then on the other side of that, you've got people who are behaving really badly still, who are talking such a good talk. And that's why Electric Peach exists, because first of all, I want to call out those businesses who are basically purpose washing, but that makes it sound so much nicer than it is, because it's so toxic. It's Greta Thunberg recently said that it's even more worrying that people are pretending to do something about the problem, because then we're not calling them to account, and we need to be calling them to account. But then equally on the other side of it, those that are actually doing great things need to be brought into the spotlight. So that's kind of the context of it. But to answer your question, if you feel like you're afraid of being divisive, you're probably onto a good thing. Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, it's human nature to resist change. It's completely normal for our brain. It's actually part of our protection mechanism, our evolutionary protection mechanism. And so then the general public will resist messages that challenge their perspective of the world. That just is the way that it is. But if we want to break free of just our echo chambers, where we're talking about things that everyone around us agrees it with, and we're all like, yes, that's amazing, I believe that that's the way we need to do it, we want to be reaching people who go, no, like, that's wrong, you're wrong, like, and get really angry, because those are the people who we need to enroll in this conversation in order to actually create the tipping point, or go closer to the tipping point where real change actually happens. And I'm seeing it so much in the environmental conversation, where businesses who are talking about environmental impact and climate change are getting a serious abuse on channels like TikTok. Like, it's quite mind-blowing, actually. Wow. And so I totally understand why, if you're seeing people or your peers who are having that experience. You don't want that experience, of course. And it takes something to put yourself out there. So I will always stand for self-expression and for us finding the courage to challenge the status quo, because it's the right thing to do. And we know that there's another way that we're pushing towards, but that doesn't make it easy. So I guess, I don't know if that helps, but it's more that I want people to realize that if they're feeling that way, it's totally normal. And I also feel that way. And I think it's about taking incremental steps. And the first part of it is really getting very, very clear on your purpose and why you're doing what you're doing and your brand story, so that you've got this sort of North Star that you can follow and that you can be true to regardless of what anyone says.
Oh, Sophie, you're just giving me segue after segue, because the next thing I was going to ask you about was, where should businesses start in communicating their purpose, understanding their purpose, and getting clear on that?
I think that traditionally we would say, oh, always start with your why. Yeah. Simon Sinek. And that's true. I definitely think we should start with the why, but I don't think it should be your why. I think it should be your audience's why. And it can be a combination. Of course, it needs to be driven by your passion and your purpose and the reason you started your business in the first place. But I see too often board members, or, you know, senior executives or leaders, if you've got a smaller business, deciding what that message needs to be without going out and asking the stakeholders in their business. And when we run Electric Peach is a social enterprise, so I'm talking from that perspective, but this applies to any kind of business structure. If we're trying to do good with our business, we have many, many, many stakeholders in that. They are our teams, if that's appropriate. They are our customers. They are the people who we want to be our customers, or the people who never be our customers, but who believe in us and who really, really need the messages that we put out there for their own well-being and value in their lives. But they're also the people that we're trying to impact through our business. And that might also be the planet. Like, I heard recently with Faith in Nature talked about putting nature in the boardroom. So it's like, really, and which I thought was really lovely. It's like, what would nature do? You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's where we start. We start by having conversations. What is it that matters to you? When I talk to you about what I'm up to in the world, what stands out for you? Do you think this is needed? You know, and if so, why? What is it that emotionally is triggered in you when I talk to you about what I'm up to? Mm-hmm. Getting as much information as we possibly can about how other people in our community feel about it is a really great place to start, and then we can build out the brand story. And that always starts by, you know, really solidifying what that key purpose is. I'm now starting to talk more about cause over purpose, because I'm so bored of purpose. Like, every business has a purpose. Every business does. It always has. The purpose is making money for a lot of them. And now they've heard that consumers will buy from them if they've got a bigger purpose. So now their purpose is some bullshit that they that they pretend they care about. It's still just making money. So it's a cause. It's something that they stand behind. And it could be absolutely anything. And, you know, for the sake of this podcast, a lot of your listeners, it will be something to do with the planet. And it might be the sea. It might be plastic. It might be climate change, all of these different things. That's your cause. And then how do you turn that cause into a movement? Well, you find out how to enroll others in that cause by having conversations with them.
I love that. I love that. And it's a really interesting point to make, is this whole point around language and the language that we've used over, like, the very short past, like the last 5 years. We've gone from talking about sustainability, and then that's kind of lost its meaning. And then we start talking about purpose or impact. And then that's been jumped on and kind of diluted by the big brands. And so I love that idea of cause. Like, what is it that matters to you?
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. What matters to you, what matters to your stakeholders, and how do you want to increase your stakeholder share, i.e. enroll more people in your cause? And that's then the kind of the sort of gap between those who already believe it and then those who are potentially understand a bit but don't aren't really involved yet, those are the ones that I'm more interested in reaching. So for us, that's the businesses, not just those that already have this incredible drive and cause but don't know how to articulate it. It's also those who want to do better but don't know how to do better in business. And those are kind of our like midpoint. They call it like the galvanizable middle. And I think that that's also a really important part, because really those that I'm sure that your listeners probably really relate in the way I do, in the way you do, Charlie, it's really important for us to be the change in our businesses.
Mm-hmm. I'm also going to get a post-it note and just write WWND, what would nature do? Or stick it on my desk to remind me all the time.
exactly that. It's like, you know, we make all these decisions a lot of the time just from our coding, our like brainwashing, and whether we like it or not, we have been brainwashed by marketing and advertising, and we need to start questioning our choices, because a lot of them are subconsciously conditioned by the capitalist system, and that is a whole nother conversation.
We'll part that one for another time.
We could be here for hours. Industrial Revolution.
I love that. So can you give us some examples? Are there any brands out there or businesses that you think are already doing this really well, that are really walking their walk and talking their talk and not just using it as a way to make money?
Yes, Faith in Nature is a great one. They are, you know, that I love the fact that they talk about putting nature in the boardroom, and they're very real. I was speaking at a conference, the Better Business Summit in Manchester last month, and they were there, and it was just very human, a very well-known brand that's very human, and I really appreciated that. Patagonia is an obvious one, but I kind of want to be focusing more on smaller businesses. There's a razor brand called Billy, who I'm really interested in social justice. And so this isn't so much environmental, but they have this whole campaign that's all around celebrating body hair. They've got trans people in their adverts. Mm-hmm. They're like, if you want to have body hair literally everywhere, you crack on. That is beautiful. If you choose to shave your body hair, then we happen to have the product for you. And I love that. I think that's really powerful. Another that I love is Snag Tights, which was started by a woman in Scotland. And she is all about celebrating all body sizes, all genders, and just saying, like, if we deserve to wear tights that fit. Like, I mean, God, the fact that we're still at the point where it's revolutionary that a tight company is talking to real bodies is mad. But we are, here we are. It's like all kinds of vibrant colours. And I'm a burlesque dancer, so they've tapped in really well to the burlesque community as well. And I love that. I'm quite passionate about using quite activist rebel communities to drive your, like, turning influencer marketing on its head again, and using authentic voices who really genuinely have a cause as your influencers is a really exciting thing for me to see.
That's very cool. I've seen Snag Tights. They pop up on my Instagram feed all the time. So I'm glad you mentioned them. I might look into them more now.
Great. Like everything that they stand for, I love the vibrancy of it and the like joy of it. Because I think, and especially in the environmental world, I think there's a tendency to become a little bit, either a little bit like twee.
Yeah.
word. And I personally, and that's just because of me as my personality, like I don't vibe with that. Like I want the conversation to be exciting and vibrant and fierce and all about revolution and potential, and not about kind of more, like, I like it when brands bring it into that space. And I also really enjoy it when brands aren't saying you have to change, because I just think it's so unrealistic. Like change, behavioral change psychology is a super new field for one. And we don't have the time to change like groupthink to the level that we need to. So as a result, it's not like asking people to change. We need to change. And so really we need to be looking at ways to give people what they already want and what they already are buying, just in a more sustainable or ethical way.
Like that. digressing for a moment, I saw a lovely post you shared on LinkedIn, which I'll share in the show notes for this podcast, that questioned our built-in competitiveness as marketing professionals and highlighted the importance of collaboration if we are all to achieve the ultimate goal, which at CISL we define as a long-term well-being for all. I saw that and I was like, yes, I agree with you. And I've spoken about this a lot. It's like collaboration. But especially in agency land, which is my background, there is a lot of competitiveness. Even if you just look at awards, award ceremonies, pitches, it's all about competitiveness, even internal competitiveness. That's so hard to say three times in a row in terms of promotions and progression internally. So how, as marketers, can we move the dial away from a competitive mindset where there is always only one winner to a collaborative mindset where we all win in some way when it comes to making the world a better place?
That's a good question. I agree, like collaboration over competition all the way. I think it's tough because if you are, and this is a gross overstatement, so I'd be really interested in your perspective of this, but if you are drawn to a career in communications whereby you get to be the voice of whatever it might be and people listen to you, I'm going to guess you're probably quite ego driven. Like, I certainly know that I have to battle with my own ego in this process. I think that is kind of par for the course of the kind of people who are drawn to that kind of job. I don't. Would you say that that's been your perspective, or am I being grossly unfair?
No. Do you know what? I think you make an interesting point, and I think it comes back to that fear. I remember getting to a point in my life when I was like, "Oh, people disagree with me. I don't think the same as everybody else," and I found that quite confronting. And I think that's really magnified by social media. And, you know, I'll get into a conversation. I've stopped doing this because for my own mental health, but I'm getting into a conversation in the comments with somebody who has a completely different view of the world. You don't know anything about that person's background, but that first thing of, you know, you have to really step away from the, but I'm right. And step into, well, listen to other people's opinions. They've got a different experience of life. And I think that is the ego bit that potentially, that you're talking about, that like drives us into this sort of area. But I think different areas of marketing, that there's some people who are very much behind the scenes, you know, who are just in the back end of Facebook ads, for example, who maybe have less of that ego. Whereas when you're like, probably like yourself and myself, when we were in the front of big pitches in huge agencies, you kind of have to have a little bit of ego to back yourself in those moments.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're leading those businesses, then for sure. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not trying to judge anybody. I definitely try to live by that. We never know enough to judge, which is what I'm hearing from what you're sharing as well. But my point in that is that it becomes a practice in letting go of your ego. So the post that you're referring to, I was being honest when I said that I was in this networking event, and which I had put on behalf of the Good Business Club. And I was like, everybody in here is a frigging brand developer. And that was my first thought. That was my brain's first thought, like, oh. And then I checked myself because that was an ego response and was like, no, actually, this is a fantastic opportunity to meet other people who care about what I care about. Otherwise, why would you be at a Good Business Club event? And who are doing things differently so I can learn from them. And that's a really key thing. And I would say I absolutely hate giant marketing and advertising agencies. Like, the corporate machines of advertising and marketing are so toxic for so many levels and reasons, mainly because they completely suck talent and creativity dry. They're almost all run by white men, and not to slag off men, but it's not about men shouldn't be, it's about there needs to be diversity, because these are the companies who are the literal mouthpieces for the world's information. And if it's only one type of person who is creating those messages, then that is extremely concerning about the future of diversity and inclusion. Yeah. And quite frankly, I'm bored of their egos and the way that they run their businesses. So the way to challenge those, the way to actually stand up and really make a difference for small businesses is if we work together. Because when we work in collaboration with each other, we can create teams that are often full of people who've burnt out and left these giant agencies because they are the actual devil. And so it's got the best talent who hasn't been sucked dry because they, you know, don't work like that anymore, and who can offer competitive rates much, much, much more reasonably priced, and who work far more dynamically, who can create better work. And like that for me is like, I don't want to just work on my own. I want to work with amazing people that I learn from and that make my work far better. And that also then provide a challenge for those people who've had the monopoly for far too long. And I really feel like they've had their day. I hope they've had their day.
Well, it is interesting to see the rise, it's particularly in the field of quote unquote sustainability, of the smaller agency that's really making a huge difference. And like all together, all of those smaller agencies dotted around the country and around the globe are a force for change if they collaborate and work together and not against each other.
Yeah, together we are so much more mighty, and it absolutely is key for us to work in collaboration.
Amazing. I think you've kind of given me an inkling to the answers to my next question, but what is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? What drives you to keep doing what you're doing in the face of adversity, in the face of those trolls, in the face of conflict and competitiveness? What is it that keeps you going?
Someone asked me that yesterday, actually. I'm doing some work in Belmarsh Prison. So I was in Belmarsh Prison yesterday. And I got asked that question, and my first response was tenacity. And a healthy mix of anger. Like, I feel angry with the way that the world is, and I don't think just being angry is helpful. So channeling that into actually using my energy, my influence, for however, you know, whatever small influence I have, and my natural talent for communication, which has always been the thing that I've loved the most, that using that to at least do all I can to try to be the change is what drives me. And that goes back to my first point of, when you've got your North Star as a business, you've solidified your purpose, you know why you're there. It really helps when you feel like you've been kind of, because there'll always be times when we feel disenfranchised because we live in this completely crazy world, and it can be really easy to feel burnt out by it. But if we know why we're doing what we're doing, and we have conversations like this and collaborate with amazing people, it can really feel like we're actually making at least some impact somehow.
I love that. And finally, the last question, which we ask all of our guests on this podcast, is, do you think there is such a thing as a truly sustainable business yet?
God, no way. It really, really, really annoys me when people act like they've got it nailed. No, there isn't. It is so complicated. It is so interwoven. Interwoven.
I love that word.
We need to be aware, I think, as businesses in sustainability. I prefer actually regenerative, because sustainability's got far too much things like carbon offsetting and carbon neutrality, which is actually just another way of saying I'm going to do what the fuck I want and plant trees that probably will never come to sequestration and make no difference whatsoever. It's like, I think it's so much more nuanced than that. And there is no solution yet, because we still as a world and a global economy rely on oil, gas and oil. Like, if they went bust tomorrow, we would be completely screwed. And I think that is just the truth. We need to be realistic about this. So until huge changes are made in government, on government levels, and we start to see a shift in these companies are allowed to do whatever they want, and instead a focus on sustainable energy sources, regenerative business practices. No. just because you plant some trees, no. Like, and I think it's really important that we're really honest about that. And equally, I don't want anyone to be listening to this and be like, oh, like, it's okay that we're doing the best we can. Like, we don't have to be perfect. We're never actually going to be perfect. It's just not possible. And it's okay to be doing the best you can, even if that is just small changes right now.
That is a beautiful place to end this conversation. Sophie, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. Thank you so much for your time, and best of luck with Electric Peach.
Thank you, Sophie, for coming. That's my ego trying to get out. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Sophie. Probably the best place to connect with Sophie is via LinkedIn, where you can find her as Sophie J. Turton. I'll pop the link to that article I mentioned in the show notes and on our website, where the transcript of this episode can also be found, and that's at easybeinggreenpodcast.com. If you liked this episode, it would mean the absolute world to me if you could subscribe or follow this podcast on your favourite podcast app. And I'd be even more grateful for your 5-star review, which helps other people find these conversations. I just want to say a massive, massive shout out to the people who have actually left a review in the last week. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. We've got people saying, would recommend, a great listen, really good to listen to, very informative, and has given me a clear understanding of the importance of this topic, and invaluable perspectives and conversations for sustainable small businesses. So just a few of the reviews we've got this last week. So thank you so, so much. If you are one of our listeners that left those reviews, you do not know how much it means to me to know that you are listening, and that all of the hard work I put into these episodes every week are going to good ears. So thank you so much. If you'd like to get in touch with me about this episode or have ideas for a future one, you can do that by following us at the Easy Being Green podcast on Instagram. You can find us on TikTok as well, although we might not be there for much longer. And I hope you can join me next week for another informative conversation, with this time with Tess Coughlin Allen from website performance agency Atomic Smash, where we discuss, amongst other things, the link between website performance and digital carbon emissions. Until then, stay collected and don't forget to keep it green.